Well, good morning. It's wonderful to see you here today and just a time to come together and lift our hearts and our minds towards the Lord. I always look forward to seeing your smiling faces, and maybe if you come in this morning and you don't have a smile on, perhaps by the time you leave, something will take place that will put that smile there. I want to say something. I was looking at the bulletin today. And I just want to say thank you to Frank. Frank works on these for us and puts them together for us each week, and he doesn't get a lot of instruction. It's just kind of, here, Frank, do this. And I send him my sermon notes, and he breaks the sermon notes down and puts them in there to help you follow along with the message. So, Frank, thank you. Good job, well done. Give him a hand, guys. Yeah. So today, as we... As we come together, I've got to find my message. The message today is God's will, something new in your life. God wants, and I guess the question I start off with this morning is really simple. Where is the fire? Where is the fire? What do you feel today in your walk with God that resembles that first walk, that first love, that first time that you said, God, come into my life and be the Lord of my life? Now, I remember way back when I was just a young person, and I made that decision, that first-time decision that, oh, I want God to come in my life, and I was at Sunday school. No, it's not Sunday school. Vacation Bible School. And they had this closing program, and somebody else from the neighborhood had taken us to Vacation Bible School all week. And boy, the pastor got up at Vacation Bible School, and he said this wonderful thing. And boy, it was just exciting, and it sounded great, and it sounded like just what I needed. And so I remember there at Vacation Bible School, I said, Jesus, come into my life. And it was just, boom, refreshing and something that I felt and I knew, and it was so special. Do you guys remember that? Yes. That time in your life when you finally gave in. Well, what happens is, as we get older, I guess the easiest way to put it, life happens. And when life happens, we sometimes, and I'm not saying everybody, I don't want to stereotype this, but sometimes when we have life happen, we forget to be fresh with God. And He wants us to be fresh with Him. He wants us to know that He is a consuming fire burning inside us, that He is there for us, and that He has our best interest at heart, and that He is there to help us through whatever might come our way. I remember as a young person, I went for a period of years where I was just on fire, and I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Oh, I went and I did mission work, and I worked at church camp. But all along, what began to happen is it began to be show. Now, maybe you guys can't relate to this at all. It's not that I didn't believe. It's just that it was easier to believe and speak it when I was around churchy people. Okay, when I was around the world and around the kids I went to school with, many of them would have been surprised to even know I went to church, let alone was a believer in Christ. God was still there. I still needed Him. I still trusted Him. He still wanted to be in my life, and He wanted to do something with my life. But I was just kind of lukewarm. Never denying Him, never questioning His existence, but I did question the reality of what is He doing with my life. And today, as we share, all I'm asking you to do is to be honest with yourself. Because you can fool everybody else. You cannot fool God, and you cannot fool yourself. And so when we're talking about this idea, this concept of God's will and something new for your life, what we're talking about is coming back to that point, that freshness where we say, I love God, and I want to be about Him in my daily life. I want to think about Him. I want to sing praises to Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Jesus. No matter what kind of night I had, I'm awake today. Some of you understand. So we're going to talk about that. God wants to do a new thing in your life, and He wants to continue to mold. And I love this song we sang this morning, you know, change my heart, oh God. You know, mold me, shape me, make me what You would like me to be. But all too often, folks, what happens is we become stagnant. We become numb in our Christian walk, and we start walking in that. Oh, God's still there, and we believe it, but we don't really represent it. We just keep doing the same old thing without paying any attention to where God's leading us. Or, better yet, we decide that we need to lead. And it goes like this. God, this is what I want to do. Bless it. Okay? God, this is what I'm going to do. Sometimes it goes, this is what I'm going to do. Now, I know what Your word says, but God, You can make an exception in my case. It happens. And we just become so complacent that we're saying, you know, God, You're in my life, but now, instead of being God pouring into me, I want me to be in control, asking God to do what I want. And we quit paying attention to His leading. We begin to take our faith and to take the walk that we have with God, we take it for granted. Oh, God's there all the time, so I don't have to push it. We fail to keep it fresh. We seem to want a strong relationship with God, but we don't want to put any effort into it. We want God to be there in the emergencies. You know, when something happens in life and we finally realize it's beyond our control, how quick do we come to God? You know, boy, we hit the prayer table hard. We drop to our knees and we're lifting voices and boy, we call somebody and let's get the prayer chain going and we pray and we all of this going on. And then once disaster has passed, we go back to our position of, okay, God, now do what I want You to. When life circumstances don't go the way we want them to, we blame God. Lord, why didn't You do it my way? If You would have done it my way, these are what the results would have been. Aren't You listening to me, God? And we try to control it. So today, let's focus on the fact that God is here, and God is listening, that He is with you right now, this very moment today, and that He's about to open your heart and your mind to the future direction that He wants you to go, that He wants you to grow in. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 is the passage we're working from today. And I want you to grab onto this. Again, powerful passage. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland to motivate the hearer to seek a new vision and a new interest in the things of God. Isaiah is writing to the children of Israel came at a very bleak time in their history. And that's who this is written to, is the nation Israel. They're in captivity. They've lost everything. and they thought that they would keep everything forever. Well, they didn't pay attention to God. They didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't do what they were supposed to. And God sent prophet after prophet after prophet saying, come back to God and he'll listen. Lean close to God and he'll listen. Follow God and he'll listen. And they said, no, we don't need to. So they lost what they thought they would keep forever. They were homesick for a land and their land and the blessing that God had promised. He gave it to them. And they just kind of ignored it. Let me tell you something. God has given you guys something. And he's given you something great and something wonderful and something marvelous. He has given you eternal life. He has given you salvation. He has given you a promise of a future that money can't buy and that governments cannot destroy. God has poured this into you. Don't be like the nation Israel and say, I'll do it my way. To motivate the hearer and to seek a new vision and a new interest in the things of God. That's what God's speaking about. So in order to do this, if we're going to follow this, there's some things that have to happen. First of all, you have to change your focus. Some of you like this, some of you won't. How many of you have a past? Past. Okay. All right, Frank, we'll get you hearing aids. No, turn them up, Frank. He's already got them. But you have a past. How many of you have a past that you kind of wish you didn't? Okay, you've done some things, you've been some places, you've seen, and I just kind of wish I hadn't walked that course. If you're going to move forward the way God wants you to move forward, you got to quit looking behind at your past and start looking ahead. Verse 18 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. We spend way too much time dwelling on past things. Listen, folks, you're going to mess up. I mess up all the time. I don't mean to. Sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes I'm just stubborn and go ahead and do it anyway. But you're going to mess up. And God knows that. And God knows that you're human. And he knows that stuff happens. And God forgives. Listen to the next part. And forgets. Think about that. Your past is over. God will never hold you accountable to that past which you have surrendered to him. Because he knows that you're human. And he knows that you need his forgiveness. And he's offered that. But you also want to realize Satan loves to remind you of your past. And he loves to accuse you. He loves to make you feel bad about the things in the past. If you're continually looking behind, you can't see where you're going. I work with a lot of inmates. Or used to work with a lot of inmates at the jail. And I'll tell you what, jailhouse confessions, they're a dime a dozen, folks. It's kind of like foxhole confessions. They say that in the foxhole, there's a lot of men become believers real fast. In jail, they bargain. Lord, if you'll get me out of here, if you'll get me a light sentence, Lord, if you'll do this, you do this, you do this, I will just follow you. And it doesn't happen. And what happens is when they come out, they start looking at their past and they start following back into their past. The only way you're going to find this fresh start with God is to quit looking at your past and to start looking at the future, looking forward. And the only way it happens is when you say, okay, the past is over, and I want that new start. I want to move up from here. And if you're ever going to move on to new things in Christ, you have to learn that. You can't, and this even goes with victories, you cannot depend on past victories to sustain you. I remember when God did this in my life. I remember when God took control of this situation and such happened, and what a blessing. It was wonderful and it was marvelous. I remember the things that God has done, and I remember the miracles that He's performed and that I've seen. But if all you do is try to remember and depend on past victories to sustain you, you're going to fail. Because life changes. Forget the former things. That's what the passage says. The children of Israel, they had many victories in their past. Leaving Egypt, God led them out of Egypt. Conquering the land of Canaan. Fighting off prospective conquerors. Everybody wanted to come in and take the land away from them. They survived a split in their country. But now they're all in captivity. And all their previous victories were doing nothing to set them free. And they could remember everything that had happened in the past, but it wasn't setting them free. They needed a new work. They needed a new miracle. They needed a new victory. And maybe that's what you need today. Maybe you're saying, I need a new victory in my life. I need a new miracle, God. I need a new reward. I need to see you leading me. And open my eyes, and the past is the past, and it's over, and I don't want to mess with it. And I thank you for the blessings of the past, but I know they're done, and now I move forward. The question isn't, what has God done? The question has to be, what is God doing in your life right now and in the future? And you ask yourself that this morning, what is God doing in your life right now? And I hope every person in this room has an answer. If you don't, you need to be looking. You need to be praying. You need to be opening your eyes, because God's not left you. And He's not just dumped you on the side of the road. He's still there. And He still wants to lead you. And He still wants to show you the way. He still wants to show you that new work and that miracle and that new victory. Are you going to let Him? Are you willing to let Him? Will you open yourself up today and say, Lord, here I am. And I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where this victory is. I don't know where it's going to be. I don't know this new work. I don't know what it is that you have for me. But here I am, Lord, I'm open and I'm yours. And let me move forward. Let it be a new day. We have a lot of reason to let God do that. So what are you going to let Him do in your life? Well, secondly, in order to move on to new things in Christ, you also need to know that you cannot allow your past failures to possess you. Did you hear what I said? You cannot allow your past failures to possess you. Do not dwell on the past. Learn from it, yeah. Yeah, we do. The children of Israel had failed God miserably, and every time He blessed them with good things, they returned to Him with evil things. God gave them a temple, a place to worship. They gave Him idol worship. God gave them truth, and they lived and proclaimed a lie. God gave them His commands. God gave them His commands, and they lived like they were just suggestions. God gave them wealth, and they used it to abuse the poor. God gave them Himself, and they gave Him nothing except rejection. The children of Israel didn't deserve to receive anything from God. They really didn't. Yet He still loved them, and he earnestly wanted to help them change. Notice God's message to him. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. He's talking to his people, and he's trying to help them, and he's trying to tell them this. God was not condemning them for the past. They could do nothing to change it. And let me tell you something. Your past is over. You can do nothing to change it. Nothing. And sometimes we have a hard time with that. And sometimes the biggest change we need to do with our past is to let it go. Oh, but we like to hold on to a little bit. Do you know what I found in studying people and little human nature? Sometimes people like to be miserable. You ever run into that? They like to focus on the miserable rather than the good. How could God love me? Look at what I did. Look at my life. Look at the things that he did. And look at my past. And as long as I hold on to it, then I can tell people a sad story. And they'll feel sorry for me and I'll get attention. Boo-hoo. It happens, but and when that happens, you don't move forward. You have to let go of the past. God loved the people of Israel, and he wanted them to forget the former things and to not dwell on the past. He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. And God was not condemning them for their past because he knew they couldn't change it and they needed to know it. Instead, God was holding out the hand of hope. He's, in effect, saying, forget about your past. I'm giving you the opportunity to start over. Do-overs. We played games where we would have do-overs. I always loved do-overs because I like to cheat. Well, I don't pull any punches. I used to like, I don't do that anymore. But he's giving him a do-over. He says, forget about the past and it's over and forget about it, and I'm giving you the opportunity to start over. In Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. God says he's going to pardon. He's going to freely give this forgiveness. And if you're going to get anywhere in your spiritual life, you have to understand that you cannot live on yesterday's faith. You can't do it. And the children of Israel had experienced great spiritual blessings throughout their history, from the first Passover to the crossing of the Red Sea to the conquering of the land of Canaan to the building of the temple. The children of Israel had seen the hand of God at work in and through their lives. And yet their faith in what God had done was doing nothing to deliver them from their present situation. Their old faith was not sufficient enough to deliver them from their present problems. What about you? Has your faith faded? Do you still have that strength to where you can say, I know God can deliver me from this? Is your faith strong enough to move you forward to the next step, to what God is wanting to do? I'm telling you, he wants to work in your life. He wants to do something different. He wants to do a new thing. And we're moving as a church. We're moving that direction. And we're looking at it and saying, how do we move? And it's like, God, you're leading. And we see where you're leading. And we want to follow that. We want to put everything into that. And we're going to put our energy into that. And he's talking and he's saying to you, what are you going to do? How are you going to move forward? Their old faith just would not deliver them from their present problems. They needed new faith, a new vision as to what God could do. They needed a new portion of the faith that had brought to pass all the victories from before. Psalm 85, verse 6 or 8 says, "Will you not revive us again?" Why don't you repeat that? Will you not revive us again? Okay, either you're sleeping or I didn't talk loud enough. Why don't you say that? Will you not revive us again? Hey, God, you know, man? He's like, yeah, will you not revive us again? Listen, we're talking to God and we're saying, revive us. God, will you not revive us again? Set our hearts on fire. Set our lives on fire. Set our spirits on fire. That we are revived to go forward and to do the things that you want us to do and to live the life you want us to live and to be energized and charged by you. Revive us. Because we need it. Because we can't make it if you don't. Let's try it again. Will you not revive us again? All right, now you're sounding better. That your people may rejoice in you. Show us your mercy. Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what the Lord, or what God the Lord will speak. The second step to embracing the new thing that God wants to do in your life is to clarify your focus. Discover what God wants for you. Forget the former things. You know, I think about this and think about this and think about this, and for a few years now this has happened. There was a time, and some of you were here and you remember, and there was a time where I was extremely active and extremely busy with the rapid response team with Billy Graham. And I'm finding in recent years, I've had notices of deployments and to go to this hurricane or to go to this shooting or these different things where chaplains were being used. And every time that those have come up and there's been that request, I've had to say, I can't do it. And there's one reason or another that I couldn't do it. It wasn't a lack of desire. I want to do it. I want to be there. God's given me the gifts and the abilities to minister in critical situations. But things changed. And when these things have come up, at least so far, he said, I need you here. Don't dwell on that past. It's over. He used me. And he used me where he wanted me at that time. Now, maybe some point in the future, he will open that again, and I'm still a part of the team, but definitely have not been traveling with him. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. That's behind me. I'm moving forward. And I'm moving forward right here. And I'm moving forward in this community. I'm moving forward to build God's kingdom in this community where he wants me to be. And this is where he wants you to be. He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. That word perceive, he says, you perceive it. That word perceive is the definition be known by seeing or care or recognition, acknowledge or aware of. Perceive is to understand. Well, let me ask you something. What do you see when you view your life today? What do you see when you view your life today? Do you see possibilities? Or do you see problems? What do you dwell on? Possibilities or problems? Is there anything that God cannot do in your life? No. Because there's nothing God can't do. And when we look at ourselves then, do we look at possibilities in Christ or problems we want to hold on to? Notice what God said, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The children of Israel had a choice. They could view their past and the problems of their present, or they could focus on what God wanted to do in their lives. Listen, Laurel Street. You can view your past and your problems, and you can live there and you can hold on to them. Or you can look at the present and where you are today and circumstances and situations you're in, and you can live there. Or you can make that decision to focus on what God wants to do in your lives and to move forward, following that and seeing where He's leading and seeing what He wants to do. He has not picked anybody in this room to be a seat warmer. If you think that's your job, you're missing it. He's not picked you just to be here to warm the pew. And I don't care how old you are or how young you are. God has purpose for your life. And He wanted to do something in the lives of the Israelites. He provided them a way, which in contrast to the desert. He provided streams versus wasteland. He's saying, these good things I give to you. And in order to discover what God wants for you, you must first see yourself as God sees you. Before I go too much further with that, let me tell you something, guys. God don't make no junk. That is terrible grammar. That's bad English. But you know what? It's great theology. God don't make no junk. And you are not junk. You are not cast aside. You are not throwaway. You're not leftover. You're His best. You're who He created specifically for purpose. You're a child of God, and God wants to pour into you your future and the things that are to come. And you have to begin by seeing yourself as God sees you. And if you see yourself as having no value, if you see yourself as worthless, if you see yourself as second rate or less than, that is Satan pouring it into you because he loves to fill your head with those lies. I'm just not good enough. Satan loves to tell you that message. And God is saying, don't listen to it. The children of Israel, they felt as though they were getting just what they deserved because of the way they'd lived. Some of them even believed that God would never have anything more to do with them. That they were wrong. And you may feel like your past has made your life a wasteland, but in God, your life can become a stream of life, flowing, nourishing, rich. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, therefore, man, if you don't get anything else out of this today, grab onto this, will you? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Write it down, Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Colossians 1, 21 and 22, it says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. Isn't that a great promise? Do you see who you are in the eyes of God? In order to discover what God wants for you, you must see your possibilities as God sees them. He says, I'm making a way in the desert. And God is able to transform the desert areas of your life into fields of blessings and abundance. God can take a dried up, useless life and transform it into a life of purpose and grace. Do you believe that? That's what he's wanting to do. 2 Corinthians 3, 17, 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. I love it. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The greatest step to embracing the new thing that God wants to do in your life is real simple. It's to commit yourself to God's plan. God's already set in motion the events, and He'd already set in motion the events and the people who would lead Israel out of captivity and back into the land of their blessing. But it was still up to them to decide if they wanted what God was offering. If they refused God's plan, if they refused to follow where God was leading, then they'd be doomed to remain in their captivity. And folks, whatever's got you captive today, you make that choice. God's saying, I'm going to lead you out of this. God's saying, I've got a new way for you. I've got a new thing for you, and I can lead you into a new way. But you have to make that decision. Am I going to follow, or am I going to stay right where I'm at? I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Folks, God's opened a new realization to His church. Bottom line is this. We realize that we need to be about building the kingdom of God. I've talked to you about it, and you're going to hear more about it. And we've got to continue to think about this and focus on this, and there's going to be more coming on it. But you know what? We don't see in Scripture where Christ says, "Thy church come," do we? What does He say? Thy kingdom come. That's God's word. Where is the kingdom? Is it right in here? Oh, this is part of it. Where's a larger part of the kingdom of God? It's out there. It's out there. And we as a church and as a people following the lead of Jesus Christ and following God's lead, we need to be there. We need to be looking at community. We need to be looking at the kingdom and seeing how do we pour ourselves into this kingdom, into this community to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And He's opening doors. He's opened many doors to the church already as we've partnered with the school over here and doing things with the school, and we have more coming there. He's opened the doors as we have the young kids coming in here and these children. In, I think they've had up to 15, 20 kids come in at one time for after school club or out of school club. And we're partnered on that and we're involved in that and it's being community. Being community, being a part of God's kingdom, which is outside the church, outside the walls of this building. And what you need to start doing is, how can I plug into that? What can I do to make my community better? What can I do to relate to the people in my community? Because until you relate to them, until you get personal with them, until you know them and come close to them, you're not going to be able to tell them about God. Because they're not going to want to listen. Oh, God's doing something great. I wish I could say it's new, but it's not. It's been His plan from the beginning of time. It's our eyes open to kingdom, to community. God has already set into motion a new direction. and set into motion a new purpose for your life. And I can't tell you person by person by person how God's going to use you, because I don't know. But there is something I do know. Each person in this building right now, at this time, who makes a decision to be open and to follow God and to be a part of building His kingdom, He'll take you there. He'll take you there. And He will reveal to you what it is that He wants you to be doing. Because He's not going to leave us hanging. He never does. So the question is, will you follow Him? Will you follow Him? Or will you just sit back and say, well, we heard a little bit of a sermon today. Talked about my past, good and bad. You know, what happens is we become selfish. We really do. Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. God, here's my problem, here's my problem, here's my problem. Oh, God, take care of my problem. Oh, God, fix me. Oh, God, tweak me. Oh, God, do whatever it is to make me whatever I need to. It's me, 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 me. A little different thinking is to say, God, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? How do I walk your walk? Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you'll hear His voice, it says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. How is He speaking to you today? What's He saying? What's next? I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Sometimes it's easier to not think about the things we've thought about today. But for a couple of minutes here, I want you to think about your life. And I'd like for you to, for a moment, think about your past. Think about the things that you've done in your past that you're not proud of, the things that you know have kept you from being as close to God as you should be. But I'd also like you, as you think through this process, I'd really like you to think about the good things that God has done. How many times has He delivered you from trouble? How many times have you come to that point where I don't know what I'm going to do, but God, I need your help? And He's helped. Folks, let me tell you that those are all wonderful and marvelous things. But what I'd like for you to do now, and just for a moment, is ask yourself, God, what do you want me to do for you? What's next? Where are you leading? How do I plug in? What is it, Lord? I don't want to put myself first, Lord. I want to put you first. Lead me. Guide me. Show me this new way. Show me what it is that's necessary. Show me how to be a part of kingdom in the future. And just for a moment, think about that. And now, as you're thinking about that, will you just open your heart and say, here I am, Lord. I'm here for a fresh start. I'm here for your forgiveness. And I'm here to say, Lord, I want that fire, I want that consuming fire to burn in me again. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come to my heart. Heavenly Father, I pray for this congregation, this body of believers that comes together to worship you. Oh, Lord, we're not perfect by any means. We all have our own things in our past that we wish we could do different, but we know we can't. The past is just that. It's over. Father, we also have seen victories in our past where you have interceded and where you have helped us and brought things to fruition. But we know, Lord, that's just the past and that's over. And now we look to the future. Show us how we can join you in building your kingdom in this community. Show us, Heavenly Father, how to relate to the community and to all the variables that exist there. Do not turn our hearts to be hard, but help them to be soft and to be open to all people. So, Father, we just lift this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.